Hello, and welcome to the Transient Wool Merchants. Thanks for stopping by. We're your hosts, Amy.
And Heather.
And today is a red letter day for us because we've drawn for the winners of our first contest. It's our Countdown Challenge 2014. And now that it's 2015, it's all over. And time for us to announce the winners.
Well, Amy, you have all the information on that, so I'm going to let you tell us who our winners are and what they've won.
Alrighty. We had 76 projects entered. We did the random number generator for the entries. And the prizes are as follows. Kirsten Kapoor was kind enough to donate the patterns listed on the Ravelry thread for three winners. And those three winners are project number 35, Dusty Tree Knits, project number 24, Hez, H-E-A-Z, project number 43, Simona Meloni, I think it is. And then the next prize was the Mudra Cuff and Necklace from Laura Nalkin. And our winner was Project 72, Sophie 0075. Then we had three patterns donated by Laura Linneman of the Knit Girls for three different winners. And those were Project 66, Tigra Rosa, I'm going to call it that. Project number 19, Hez, H-E-A-Z. Project number 52, L-M-E-C-O-L-L, and the next prize was a skein of self-striping sock from M and Tim Yarns, and that was project 20. That goes to Hez, H-E-A-Z. Then we had, and I'm going to say it wrong, so tell me about the bobbin there, Miss Heather.
Ackerworks.
Alrighty, an Ackerworks bobbin for the spinning wheel of your choice. And that's project number 73, Nelago, N-E-L-A-G-O. And then we had the lipstick and change kit donated by Darn Yarns, Needles and Thread. And the owner there, Lisa Crack. And the number project is 68. Tigra Rosa, something. And then we had the Hedgehog Threader, project number 48, Simona Meloni, I believe it is. Then we had the Box Bag from KSC Designs, project number 30. That goes to Sophie 0075. And then we had the Sarah Pomegranate, Another Door Opens, shawl pattern, which is gorgeous. And that's project number 11, DP Temple, I think it is. And then the Lucky Seven hat from Sarah Punderson. And that is project number 5, won by Sarah Pomegranate. And the last prize was a Structured Stitches pattern for project number 46, which was also Simona Meloni. So those are our winners. If you want a prize, please get in touch with us, and we will get you in touch with somebody who can make your prize a reality. Thanks so much, everybody. We had a great response. We were so excited to see all of the needles getting clear and all the projects getting knitted. And everything posted onto the web, posted onto the thread. So congratulations to everyone. Even if you didn't win, you won anyways because you have a finished project.
And I'm sure someone is going to ask, we have winners that won multiple prizes. And we thought about it and we said, well, we could divvy it out, you know, one prize per winner. But some people entered quite a few finished objects. And we thought it was only fair that if you entered more than one object, you had more than one chance to win.
Right.
So congratulations to all of our winners. We had hoped to talk to you guys during the month of December, but things got a little out of hand, especially on my end. We unexpectedly left town the 1st of December because my mother-in-law was in the hospital and still is. Recording when you're at a campground in Mississippi is pretty much not going to happen.
Right. You've been on the road pretty much the entire month of December with spotty wireless and not really knowing where you're going to be.
Pretty much. I'm really, really super glad to be home. We had the trip was okay. You know, it was okay.
Just glad to be home.
I'm very glad to be home. So, the month of December was finish things up, give Christmas gifts, knit like a crazy person. What did you finish in December? And was it a gift or was it selfish knitting?
Well, I was participating in the Grinch Along. I was knitting only for myself. I do not do holiday knitting because, number one, I really don't have anybody in my family, with the exception of my husband, my son, and a couple of my son's friends who are quote-unquote knit-worthy. It never ceases to amaze me that people in my husband's family give me store-bought commercial hat, scarf, and mitten sets as a Christmas gift. It just kind of blows my mind. Nice, wonderful acrylic lovelies. And I just kind of look at them and I look at my husband like, do they know what we do?
Did that really just happen? Yeah. Yeah. That's always exciting. Every year. You were Grinching. What did you finish?
What did I finish? I got into this Grinchy Balls kick. I think I told you about this while you were on the... I was knitting basically these little stuffies that could go on a Christmas tree, I suppose. They have a hangy hooky at the top, so I guess they're intended for the Christmas tree. But I was just feeling super Grinchy this year, so I just knit all these Grinchy Ball characters. It was a kit that I had gotten from Annie Light, which is Little Skein and the Big Wool. And the pattern is by, I'm not going to remember her name now. But the pattern is actually called Snowball Buddies. But she did a special edition of it for this kit to turn all the Grinchy Ball, the Snowball Buddies into Grinch characters.
Oh, fun.
So I did Owly the Littlest Who, and I did Cindy Lou, and I did the Reindeer Dog, and I pretty much just sat and knit little balls because I could do them in an evening or two, and they just kind of made me smile. And I have kind of a tough time around the holidays, so it was. And of course, I'm still knitting on the vertebrae sweater that, you know, but I'll get into that later. But that's pretty much what I got done as far as finished objects. I just made myself some Grinchy balls, and I'm not ashamed.
That works. Well, let me summarize my packing for an undetermined amount of time when I left home. We knew we were going to Mississippi. And so I took about 3 hours and packed about a half of a king-size comforter plastic bag full of yarn because I didn't know how long we were going to be gone. I didn't know what the circumstances were going to be. So I just put a bunch of yarn in. And so I finished while sitting at the campground in the ICU waiting room. My Nora striped scarf, which used a universal color change yarn and a plain gray Noro yarn. That ended up being about 6.5 feet long.
Wow.
I knit I finally finished the Keck scarf, which I think is by Stephen West, that I started last year. My husband had seen it and said, oh, I like that. So I finished that up for one of his Christmas presents. I knit my brother a gray 4x4 rib hat out of Vintage by Barocco. And then I wore it twice before he got it for his Christmas present.
Because you didn't realize it was going to be cold where you were going.
I really, really didn't. Then I felt guilty about wearing his hat, so I knit me a hat in a 4x4 rib out of hand-spun yarn, and I wore that. Because you generally need wool hats at Disney World in December.
Yeah.
Yeah. I finished a pair of socks. They just finished as in they still need the afterthought heels put in, but they're mostly done. Let's see, what else? I knit and finished a cowl, the honeycomb cowl for my mom. I knit a pair of worsted house socks for my dad. I think that's everything I finished in December that I knit and finished in the whole month.
I'm kind of embarrassed. I feel like a total slacker.
Dude, you totally did not sit at a campground for 3 weeks by yourself going to the hospital and, you know.
That's very true.
Yeah. Now, you know what? We weren't at that campground for 3 weeks. We did go to Disney World for about 10 days in there. But it was chilly and you couldn't sit outside if you weren't at the parks. So we sat the camper and knitted some. December was non-traditional. That's all I can say about December. It was different, and I had a couple of moments that I didn't appreciate that terribly. But overall, it went okay. I don't think I got any knitting gifts for Christmas. I don't think there was any knitting items there. What about you?
Well, I didn't get any hand-knit items for Christmas, but my little Scooter Pie really, really kind of outdid himself. Like, on about the 27th, he just looked at me and said, oh, crap, how am I going to pull off something better next year? And I thought, yeah, buddy, you set the bar pretty high. But he had been shopping while we were at shows, when he would wander off to go to the bathroom, he was apparently hitting booths and picking up goodies for me. And they're just the most thoughtful little things. I mean, he got me some fiber from folks that I hadn't had fiber from before, and he got me a woolly winder. I don't know where that came from, but, I know where it came from, but I don't know how he pulled that off. I didn't even see that come. I mean, it had to have come in the mail. I don't know. But one of my favorite things is he took a skein of my bulky yarn from my Lester Long Wools and made a deal with one of the other vendors at one of our shows, and she's actually the lady that we had dinner with the first night of our first show. I met you at the first show, but that night we ended up going to dinner with Ellen Cooper and her mother because we didn't know anybody and we didn't know the area, and they said, oh, come with us, you know, we'll show you a nice restaurant. So he actually had a skein of my yarn dyed by Ellen Cooper's Yarn Sonnets in this gorgeous colorway that he picked out. It's one of her colorways in my yarn. So I'm super excited to make that, and I've been kind of trying to figure out what it's going to be because it's just so special, and I don't know how he pulled that off either.
I knew a lot of the stuff you were getting because he would show it to me. It shows. He would, like, wander over and pull things out of his pockets going, I got this for you. Think she's going to like it?
Well, and he got stoneware buttons for sweaters I haven't even conceived yet. And And just, well, he got that, the sheep figurine statue, whatever you want to call it, of the natural color Cotswold, because this is the year that we added the Cotswolds to our flock, and the first one we bought was our natural color ram. So, you know, that was just really meaningful to me, and it's just cute as the dickens. And oh, and my friend Kat, she gave me a white little sheep that looks very much like our Romneys. Actually looks like a particular Romney that I had that had passed away this year after she lambed. She was very old, and that was pretty much her last hurrah. But, and her name was Lily, so I call my white sheep Lily, and the Cotswold has roses around her neck, so I call her Rose, and so I think Lily and Rose are going to probably ride with us and be chaperones now.
You know, Wedding did get me something that, in a roundabout way, is a knitting-oriented gift. I'm a huge Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, Hobbit fan, and when I started crafting in college, I started with cross-stitch, and I did some cross-stitch gifts as Christmas presents, and I started watching, that's when the Lord of the Rings came out in the theaters, and I would watch the DVDs in my dorm room while I was working on my gifts, and so I've always had all the movies with all the extra commentary on them. Well, some of them actually have I've managed to wear out the DVDs, so he bought me the Blu-ray set with all three Lord of the Rings movies with all the extra features and everything for Christmas. That was my big Christmas gift. Christmas was a little lame this year. We bought a truck right before we left for Mississippi. It was an interesting month. But that's what he got me, and I love it because the footage looks so much better than it did on the DVDs. So that was pretty exciting. Not exactly knitting-oriented, but I've been watching them all afternoon while knitting on a new project that I started today.
I think that would be knit-related accessories.
Yeah, in a very loose fashion. They're my favorite movies. Come on, what can you say?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm still knitting away on the vertebrae that will not finish. I've actually today, okay, I've got the body of the sweater done. I've got the, what would be the button bands if it had button bands. I've got the edging done, the bottom edge all around the neck and down the front. And I'm on actually the right sleeve. And I've been knitting and knitting and knitting on this right sleeve, and I swear to you, going nowhere. So today I put a removable stitch marker in it where I started so that I could actually see that the sleeve is getting longer. Because, honest to God, that thing, I'd knit and knit and knit and knit and knit, and I still had like four rows done. And it was making me nuts. So now today I was able to see, I've knit about 2 inches on the sleeve on and off this afternoon because we've been to the rehab hospital this afternoon to visit my father-in-law, which is a whole other fiasco. But anywho, I had some knitting time on the sleeve and I'm feeling a little bit better. So I think I'll be able to motivate myself now by moving that removable stitch marker up the sleeve as I go from day to day. Yeah. But
so, didn't have enough yarn for the sleeves?
I was afraid I wasn't going
to... Did I imagine that?
I was afraid, well, when I finished the body of the sweater, and you know, I did the body and the button bands and the bottom band at, you know, around the neck and everything. I did the edging first because I was afraid I wouldn't have enough yarn left over for the edging. So I thought, I'll do the edging and then I'll weigh the ball. And, you know, then I can, like, split it evenly between the two sleeves right, so that I end up with two sleeves, however long they are. Because, like, I'm a hot person. They don't need to go to my wrists. Actually, I probably don't want them to go to my wrists. 3/4 length is probably all the farther they're going to go. On purpose, because otherwise I'm just going to shove them back up my arms. You know, I'm hot right now. It's that time of my life that I'm hot right now. So I finished all of this and I got ready to start on those sleeves, and I weighed my ball and I had 330 grams of Empire left. I have like this massive cantaloupe left of yarn, and I'm thinking, I have plenty to do the sleeves. What am I going to make with the rest of this yarn? Because I thought this was just going to be barely enough to do this sweater. It's like 1,270 yards or something. But like 330 grams of it, I mean, I have hundreds of yards. I think I'm good. So, yeah, at one point I did message you in a panic wondering if 330 yards was enough for two sleeves. And then I thought, good Lord, 330 yards is a lot of yarn. Come down off the ledge. You're fine.
You're breaking up really bad. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh. Well, you're coming through good on my end, so I hope we're okay. I'll snip that out if it turns out you're not. So, anywho, what are you working on now?
Well, I resurrected the brick sweater that I started during the Olympics last year. I'm knitting that out of a 50% merino, 50% alpaca yarn that I got from Morning Moon Alpacas. It's SAF 2013.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it was 2013. It could have been 2012. I've had the yarn a while. I started the sweater last year. And it's just a plain raglan style sweater, and I've down past the bust, so I've got quite a bit more knitting on the body, and then the sleeves to put on, and it's a scoop neck, but I think I'm going to turn it into a, like a cowl neck, like funnel neck type thing, but that's going to take some math to figure out how to fill in the and do the bell shape of the neck.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working on that right now. I've got, of course, a pair of socks. And I just started this afternoon a pattern I've been looking at. It's called Batik by Kitman Figueroa, I believe, is the name of the, I just about said composer, pattern writer. I love her patterns because rather than purling across the back, she has you work the pattern on the back side, so you just have to knit across the back. So the whole thing is kind of flip-flopped in the way patterns are normally written.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, and it starts at the bottom. So you cast on like 275 and then decrease to the end of the shawl. There's a reason I like her patterns. They're awesome. The only thing I don't like about this pattern, and this to me is a little bit crazy, only on the chart. You know, you have your symbols, and it's, this is knit, and this is purl. Well, I started looking at it, and I was a little bit confused, because you're knitting flat, so you read across the chart one way, and then you read back the other direction. Well, the symbols were all the same, and I'm thinking, well, that's not going to knit your knits and purl your purls. And when I scrolled down to the legend on it, you're supposed to flip-flop your symbols on every row.
Oh.
Yeah, that is a major brain, well, let's use the word scramble.
Yeah.
But thankfully, this pattern also has the directions written out line by line in words,
mm-hmm.
Which would never, ever be my first choice. But the fact that she's flip-flopped the symbols for the right sides and wrong sides. So what the symbol for the knit on one row is, on the next row, that's the symbol for the purl. I can't do that. I will end up with a complete mess. So, I'm using yarn from what was Sanguine Griffin. I got it at Maryland in 2000 and either 11 or 12. It's been sitting in the stash a while. It's a gorgeous, it's too vibrant to be a tonal green because it goes from a really dark forest green to like a Kelly green, but it's all greens. I think it's going to be a really nice pattern. I think that's all the major stuff we're talking about, though.
Hello? All right, is there anything else new on the needles?
I don't think so. I mean, I picked up, I finished. I finished spinning the fiber you gave me in Winchester this summer.
Yes, which I'm going to deeply regret. You've already told me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because it's really pretty. It really reminds me of, like, a Monet painting.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I bought it. I bought that one, so I really liked it when I bought it. But then after I'd looked at it for a little while, it just looked more like you than me, because it had that bright pop of that, you know, very, very yellow spring green, which really does not show up at all,
and neither does the white that was in it.
But, you know, my thing is teal, and your thing is bright green, and in the braid, I was getting bright green more than teal, but,
the predominant color ended up being navy. Almost the whole base of the yarn is navy with then a little bit of overlay.
Oh, wow. That would be beautiful, like Starry Night.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, though, it was a winch and a half to spin. It was matted. It was slightly felted. It didn't bleed when I set the twist in it, but it was not an enjoyable spin. The only reason I finished it was because you gave it to me.
Well, you know, I got it out of the markdown bin, and I dragged it around with me as, like, my favorite thing for, like, months. So if it's a little bit rough and worn, then I take full responsibility for that, because I really did love that one.
It is really pretty. I underplied it just a little bit. I'm not real happy with that. Usually I overply everything so much that it's just kind of ridiculous. So I thought, okay, I'm going to not ply it quite so much. And I had forgotten that I moved underplied anyway at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It doesn't look like what I'd normally spin, but I think it'll be good for like a scarf maybe.
Well, I started spinning again right after Christmas. I haven't spun for a while because, you know, that means I need to be in one place at home. But I had gotten the Woolly Winder for Christmas, so I wanted to fire up the Ladybug and take it for a test drive. And Mr. Wonderful had picked up a bag of pure mohair, dyed in my two favorite colors, like a dark teal and magenta, from Katrina and Bob at Fluffy U Fiber Farm.
Mm-hmm.
When we were at SAF. He seems to have done a lot of shopping at SAF. And so at first I was having trouble getting it started, and I thought, you know, because when I did that Ring of Fire mohair, I decided I really didn't like mohair.
Right.
But after about the first 10 minutes of spinning the mohair, I don't know if it was just, you know, the end of the roving was a little rough or what, but now it's like spinning like butter, and I'm really enjoying it, and it's coming out pretty fine. I wanted it to be, this is my first attempt at actually spinning for a project and spinning for an intended yarn weight, so I'm trying to come up with a worsted when I'm done. So it's not quite as fine as I usually spin. Usually I end up with kind of a sport weight because my fingers have gotten to the point now where I want to spin fine.
Yeah, that's a standard issue.
Yeah. So I'm spinning, you know, with my brain engaged, I'm trying to spin for a worsted, and I think I'm there, or I'm going to be there when I'm done. But I'm really enjoying that. And then my surprise joy this month has been the two tiny spindles that I was able to purchase from Jenkins. Jenkins Woodwork. I caught a couple of updates, and I was persistent with the clicking on the cart, and I ended up with a Coochaloo, which is ridiculously tiny. Pardon me. It's like 0.08 grams or something. It's I mean, it's ridiculously tiny. It's super duper light. And it flies. I mean, I can spin like thread on this thing. It's so much fun. And then I really, really loved it. So I stocked another one and I ended up picking up a Delight. And I know there's one of them is lilac wood and the other one is Vera, I think it is, which reminded me of Vera Bradley, which I, you know, I have a problem, so.
just a small one.
Yeah. So anyways, I picked that one up, and the Delight is just a little bit bigger, but it's really fun to play with, too, and I'm having a really good time, because my friend Kat also got a pair, and she and I have been spinning with them and comparing notes, but... Yeah, I didn't think I was a spindle spinner. I've been telling you since I've known you, I cannot spin on a spindle. Drop Spindling and I are not friends. But, honey, on these, I'm spinning. Baby, I'm spinning like crazy.
Which reminds me, I
forgot to give Scooter his Christmas present. Do you remember the one that I got him, the super, super special one?
Yeah, that I was going to ask you about that.
That I hid, because, and you told me don't say anything about it because he could hear this?
Yeah.
It's still hidden.
You moron.
Yeah, I am. So, next episode, I'll tell you what Scott thought of his super special.
You better go find that tonight and give that to that poor baby.
Well, you know, the big joke here is my mother's been has passed away for 3 years. And this year I got a Christmas and birthday gift from her because I found something she hid in her cupboard like 12 years ago from me for Christmas and forgot where she put it. So, you know, I expect my grandchildren will find Scooter's super duper special Christmas present hidden in my studio. But, and then for my birthday, he made me, because my birthday was New Year's Eve, he made me a studio sign for my fiber studio out of the seat of an old plank bottom straight chair. It's just really, really cool. It's got old crazed, crackled paint, and it's very cool. And then with...
Yeah, he had been talking about that since, like, Ron Beck.
Well, and with the parts left over, I just tease him. This was the year of the Nitty Naughty. Because, you know, I'm always embarrassed when we go places. My Nitty Naughty is made out of, like, skinny PVC pipe. It's hideous.
That's what mine's made out of.
It's stupid. And, you know, we've got all of this natural wood and all of these natural fibers, and I've got a PVC Nitty Naughty. So, he got me this Curly Willow Nitty Naughty, which I don't even know if it'll actually work as one, but it's really cool looking. And the wrap job he did on it was ridiculous.
Ridiculously bad. I saw the wrap job.
It looked like a gold prosthetic ostrich leg. Okay? It was ridiculous. Actually, that was one of the guesses. I posted on Instagram and said, you know, what is this? And, yeah, 24-carat prosthetic ostrich leg was one of the guesses. But, and then for my birthday, he used the parts left over from the chair that he made the sign out of and made me this really cool spindle Nitty Naughty. So, or maybe it's a leg. I don't know, but it's turned wood, and it's very, very cool.
Oh,
so,
cool.
I was very spoiled. My Scooter Pie is a wonderful man, and I'm going to have to go get him his special, special prize, because he has no idea that he's getting that. Oh, I'm a horrible person. I'm a horrible person.
You know, I didn't even wrap anything for Christmas this year. I had bought all of my husband's Christmas presents before Thanksgiving. And he went and bought his big Christmas present while we were at my parents' for Thanksgiving. And I said, you know, I'm not going to drag this home and wrap it and then bring it back to my parents. So I was like, Mom, could you wrap that for me? And then I bought the rest of the stuff. And she was like, you know what? Just leave that here. I'll wrap it for you. There's no point in dragging it back and forth across the state. I'm like, well, thanks. Well, that was Sunday after Thanksgiving. Text messages start coming in. We bought a truck that Sunday night. Text messages start rolling in at like 2 o'clock going, your mother-in-law's doing really badly. We need to leave. I never even made it home until like 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
So Mom did all of my wrapping. And that was just kind of awesome, even though I like to wrap and I kind of missed it. But Yeah, I didn't even do anything like that this year.
Well, the one thing that we talked about that we were definitely going to try to do on today's episode was our goals for 2015.
We're supposed to have goals? Other than make money?
Well, yes. We should have knitting goals, like things that we want to do to, you know, to expand our horizons or to go out of our comfort zone or, like some of my friends are doing 12 socks and, you know, one pair of socks a month or 15 projects in 2015 or, you know, there's all sorts of goals going around, but that just seemed like an unattainable number to me because, you know, I have the sweater that just won't finish.
But I don't want to hear about your sweater issues because I've got technically four sweaters that are on the needles and not done.
Well, I have three, but this is my first sweater because my real, actually I have four. Okay, I have four. My real first sweater was kind of over my head. And at one point in, like, the end of October, I kind of looked at myself and said, you know, you darn fool, why don't you do something to, like, figure out how to make a sweater before you decide to knit, you know, couture, because that's crazy. So this vertebrae was actually, the Fat Squirrel was doing a knit-along at the time, and so I ended up starting it, and I've really learned a lot. Now I know how to make a raglan sleeve. Which is probably something I should know before I dive into a great big, you know.
Nah. The people that I knit with will tell you I know no knitting fear. I will try anything because it's just yarn. And I took a couple of classes with my friend Kathy when I started knitting. She works at our yarn shop here, Cottage Yarn. And then it was just kind of like, I don't even really do YouTube. It's more like I'll look up stuff with pictures that say, okay, you do it like this, and I'll knit, and I spin, and I've taught myself to weave on the floor loom. So I'll try pretty much anything fiber arts-wise. I'm not even really sure, other than I haven't done a steek on an actual project.
I did a steek.
I'm not afraid of steeking. I just haven't had a project that needed one.
Well, my last Laura Nelkin, the Magmatic, it when you got done knitting it, then you steeked it. And so that was something I could put in my little bag of tricks. And, oh, God, that's right. I've got the M Club starting coming up, well, in 2015, which is now. So it'll be starting probably in the next month or two. And I signed up for the Laura Nelkin, or for the Kirsten Kapoor Through the Loops Mystery Sock Knit Along, which, you know, I loved last year. That was the first sock I ever knit, was
right.
That crazy lace sock that was, you know, really over my head, but I had no idea what I was doing or how hard it was, so I just did it. But
do you actually have a pair for those socks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did both of them, okay.
I did both of them. I finished them both, because I was doing them not two at a time, like, on the needles, but I was doing two at a time. Because I figured, I know myself, and when I get one done, then I'm going to be like, So I did do, you know, as soon as I finished the clue for one leg, I did the clue for the other leg. So that I would be, you know, when I got to the toes, I would just knit both toes, Kitchener at the ends of them, and I'd have a pair of socks, the end, thank you very much. Good night and have a fabulous tomorrow, you know? I do know my limitations, and, you know, I realize that second sock syndrome is going to be a real issue for me if I'm not having fun. So,
see, that's not one of my issues. I might let a sweater sit around for a year or two, but second sock syndrome, nope, I like pairs of socks, so. You know, I really don't have any knitting goals because I have a feeling this year is going to be so wild from a business travel standpoint. I have a feeling it's going to be even crazier than last year. So I really don't want to commit myself to too much. I've got six shows between now and May. I'm chairing a piano festival. I've got students participating in another festival, a piano recital. I really need to paint the ceiling in my kitchen because we may or may not list our house so we can start trying to move. And that's just through May. So.
Well, yeah, I get it because, you know, I've got about the same number and one of them is Maryland. And I've got fleeces I'm sorting now to send out to be processed so that I have stuff back. And yeah, and you know, our first big hurrah is in just a couple of weeks. Actually, it'll probably be about 2 weeks exactly from when this goes live. It's actually 3 weeks from today. Yeah, we have.
What day are you leaving on? Oh, the event is 3 weeks from today.
Event is 3 weeks from today.
I gotcha.
Yeah. But we're doing our first joint trunk show. The Transient Wool Merchants take Four Pearls in Winter Haven, Florida on January 25th from 1 to 5 p.m. And we really, really hope that you guys will help us get the word out and actually have some people show up. Because that's
since we're slapping our stuff from various states.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear is that you and I and the guys are going to be like sitting there staring at each other, or worse yet,
we could be at Disney World right now,
or worse yet, shopping because nobody shows up. And yeah, that's a special treat. We're bringing Scooter Pie and Big Wayner with us to the show, I believe.
That we are. Mentioning Big Wayner, he is doing a show by himself in February.
Oh, that poor man. He's so funny.
I have to go judge. I have to go judge or enter something. I've got a piano event that day that I can't get out of. I don't really even want to get out of it, but this show does pretty well for a small local one-day kind of deal. And I was like, babe, I think you're going to have to go do this show again this year. Because last year was a last-minute thing. He was like, okay, are you going to set everything up? I said, yeah, we'll go down Friday night and do that. He said, okay, I'll just go flirt with all the ladies.
Well, that he will. He is a flirt.
But we've got Four Pearls in January. And we are going to have some special kits for that. We just don't know what they are yet.
Oh, you're not supposed to say we don't know. They're top secret.
They're top secret, as in, I don't know what they're going to be yet.
They're top secret, as in, nobody has told us yet.
You know, the problem is not choosing the pattern and getting the yarn dyed and the kits assembled. The problem is, I think we're going to have a sample for that.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, Kathy said she'd knit it, so we kind of need to decide what we're doing on that.
God bless Kathy.
Mentioning God bless Kathy, you know, I said I wasn't going to Maryland this year. And I told Kathy that. She goes, oh, I think I'm actually going to get to go this year. Well, you can ride with us if you don't want to drive.
Oh, wow.
So, because Kathy's brother lives in Gaithersburg.
Oh,
not
good.
Too far from where the show is. And they used to go every year. And since her husband has been sick the past few years, they haven't gotten to go. And she's been really bummed out about that.
Oh, you get to go see your favorite very pale woman with the chandelier on her head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can go see the belly dancer again.
That was scary.
That was not scary.
I may be scarred for life.
Oh, shut up. So that kind of gives you even an outline of what we're doing this spring. Carolina Fiber Fest, and then I'll be doing Old Liberty and Powhatan, and then Kentucky Sheep and, is it Kentucky Sheep and Wool?
Kentucky Sheep and Fiber, I believe.
Okay, because there's two different ones, and I always say the wrong thing.
Yep, and yep. I'm doing the same schedule, except I'm also doing Pittsburgh Knit and Crochet in March and not doing Old Liberty in April. It's just too tight with the turnaround for Maryland.
And that's just a one-day show. It's a good show. It's a small show. And for me, It's like a one night adventure.
Yep. It's closer for you than it is for me too. And that's that's where the camper caught fire, so I'm a little traumatized by that show. But then we have at the end of the season we also have Great Lakes. So
that's right.
After we get back from Kentucky we go straight to Great Lakes. So we've got a full complement of vending possibilities going on this spring. And
People are going to come to Winter Haven and then to the one-stop shop hop in Lancaster, I would appreciate it if you people would buy some yarn. I would like to put new trailer tires on the camper. That would be awesome. So that is what you're funding with these first couple of shows is new trailer tires.
Well, as always, with me, it's feeding the sheep. Just keep feeding the sheep. We've been super duper blessed in the last 2 months. I do have to say, you know, we have been so blessed with very, very mild weather here in Pennsylvania. Last year, we ended up starting to feed hay in August because it was drought conditions. And then had to continue feeding through April because of the horrible, cold, bad winter that we had. And it really took its toll on the finances, on our backs and morale, and on the girls because, you know, it's hay for months and months and months with no possibility of grazing. And, you know, even today on, you know, what is it, like the 8th of January, the 5th of January, whatever day it is in January, my girls are out on the hillside grazing. I mean,
would they like to come to my backyard because I'm going to have to mow if something doesn't give?
Well, we're supplementing with hay. Of course, we're feeding them grain because several of them are pregnant. But, you know, for them to be able to just go out and whether they're actually really eating any grass or not, just graze around and be sheep on the hillside is so much better for their health and well-being and, you know, I believe their mental state. You know, they're not stir crazy and all shut up in the barn so they don't freeze. They're out being sheep and walking around and getting exercise, which of course is good for them when they're in a family way, you know. Well, because that keeps their muscle tone up and they need that to have babies. So I like to think that their walk up the big hill is, you know, sort of like prenatal yoga for sheep. So anyways, I love my sheep. You know I love my sheep.
I know you love your sheep. You crack me up, though, with, like, prenatal yoga for sheep. That totally needs to be a t-shirt. The girl, the lady that does all the sheep cartoons, you need to, like, email her that one.
Oh, well, you should see someone out here. We need, like, sheep yoga. Like, once they get, like, super pregnant, they just don't feel like getting up anymore to really graze, so they'll like walk up the hill to a nice patch of grass and then they just sort of like lay down and eat whatever they can reach in front of them, and it's really funny to watch. But and then when the lambs come and they're running, and I call it popcorning, when they run across the hillside and they just all stop and then they just like bound in the air, boing 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 boing, it's like the greatest thing ever.
Oh, I have a dog story.
Oh, no.
Well, one, other than the part where they ate 10 Hershey Kisses at my parents' house, they were fine. No ill side effects. They didn't even eat the foil. But no, today, Wayne and I and Schubert were upstairs, and Gershwin was downstairs in his crate taking a nap, or so I thought. And I was watching TV, and I hear this noise that sounded like Gershwin was digging in his crate, which he does. And then I heard a rip. We just put a new sheet in the crate. And then I heard silence. And I said, Wayne, you might want to go check on what Gershwin's doing. That sounded a little suspicious. He's our troublemaker. And he went down there, and Wayne started laughing hysterically. I was like, what is going on down there? He said Gershwin had gone into the laundry room where we keep their bag and gotten out the whole bag of rawhide sticks that we'd gotten them for Christmas, taken the whole bag into his crate, ripped it open, and hid them all under the new sheet that's in the crate.
Oh, Lord.
He even had the wrapper. Wayne had to look to figure out what was going on. So he does. Gershwin does love his rawhides, and he doesn't like to share with his brother. So I guess he thought he saw his opportunity to, to get a little stash
make
going
his,
there.
Make his own stash. Well, you know, Bloss has done Blossom, our big great peer. She's been doing similar things. Her new thing is feeding her brothers and sisters off the counter. She does share, which is nice, because, you know, Lila Grace, the corgi, does not share. But we got one of the, you know, industrial-sized bags of bacon strips for their Christmas treat at Sam's Club. And I heard the rip. She got it down. She had them spread all over the floor, and, you know, each of the dogs was kind of like laying there with their little cache of bacon strips, eating their way through them. And I said, you guys can't eat all these right now. And I, you know, I picked up all the extras. I did let them have a couple of them. I said, you know, this is not healthy. You can't eat these things. So then the next day she decided to get down. We had gotten a Christmas gift from an acquaintance, and it was a little gift card, but in the bag with the gift card was a giant bag of M&Ms. So she ferreted out the bag of M&Ms without disturbing the wrapping paper or the gift cards, and I saw her coming through the living room with a giant bag of M&Ms in her mouth. I'm like, wait, where do you think you're going with that, young lady? Oh, excuse me. So, yeah, around here it's all over the trip. And if she gets hungry and there's nothing in her bowl, which hardly ever happens, but when it does, she now goes to the pantry shelves and gets herself down a package of ramen noodles. And I don't think she actually eats them. I think she just destroys them all over the floor to make a huge mess to let me know that her bowl is empty.
Our guys push their water bowl in, around the kitchen if anything's empty to let us. It makes a really loud noise because we have no rugs or carpet or anything downstairs. And yeah, just to let us know that something is empty and make a mess.
Well, it's not fun to come down the stairs in the morning and step into piles of shredded ramen.
That's kind of gross, I have to say.
It's, well, I wouldn't even have them in the house, but it's like Scooter Pie's favorite, you know, go-to, I don't feel like making lunch food. And, you know, I tell him he's no longer a college student, he's too old to eat those things, but from time to time he does, like, discard the packet and put them into some sort of an Asian stir fry or a salad or something, and they're actually really tasty that way. As an ingredient, not a, you know, entree.
Lord. Hey, I'm just excited. I'm on a 23-foot travel trailer with my husband, and he's going to the office tomorrow.
Good Lord. Well, mine's about ready to come back in from the barn, so I'm going to go downstairs and make him a cup of hot tea, because the temperature has dropped, and it's about 20 degrees here again now.
It's still like 65 here.
Yeah, it was 57 this morning. It's like 23 now.
Oh, exciting. Well, let's wrap this up. Now that we've got you caught up, we will be posting the list of winners on the RAV board as well, so check there.
Yep.
And message, I'm going to say message Amy on that.
Okay. Yeah,
just
I'm
do
around.
A DM so you can send her your contact information so we can ship the prizes out.
Yeah, and actually you will be receiving all of your prizes from the donors, not from us. We don't actually physically have anything here with us.
Oh, I do.
Okay. Well, she does. But the rest of the stuff will be coming from the donors. So I will let you know that when I respond to your message, if you are a winner, winner, chicken dinner. I will say my goal for 2015 is to record weekly.
We will do our best. God willing and the creek don't rise.
Oh, yeah. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Hope it was a
Happy New Year, and we will catch you next week.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.